Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Tuesday, 21st February 2023. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 430. So we are, as usual, Tuesday class, we have our physical puja. Let us gather. Then we will do the puja offering. After that, we will commence our puja chanting. Let us develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja offering. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Fo. Namo Guan Sing Pusa, Namo Guan Sing Pusa, Namo Guan Sing Pusa, Namo Ami Tofo, Namo Ami Tofo, Namo Ami Tofo, Namo Mila Fo, Namo Mila Fo, Namo Mila Fo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Tisang Wang Pusa, Namo Tisang Wang Pusa, Namo Tisang Wang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suvakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majjhapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us turn to page 3 of the chanting book. Padipa Puja, offerings of light. Gannasarapadithena dipena tamadhangsina tiloka dipang sambutang pujayami tamonodhang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna kanda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujyamin buddhang kasumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokkhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. And finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now pay respect to Tripaja. Dang Puja. Dhammang Puja. Sanghang Pujayami. Just relax body and mind. Then maintain some form of attention. We are now off the light so that we can have our usual half an hour of awareness based meditation. Okay. So remember, the first of all, the support is relax. Relax body and mind so that you are completely at ease. Then your mind can settle down, your body can relax to become natural. These are conducive mind state and bodily condition that can allow you to meditate. Then the second support is just relax. After relax is maintain awareness. Maintaining awareness is very simple. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just maintain the attention within, the alertness within, so that whatever goes on, you are aware. You can only be aware of the movement, the mental movement, the physical movement, the senses, perception that you receive through your sense basis. So this sense basis, together with the consciousness, they are nature's condition to give rise to contact. When there is a sharp external sense data or relatively strong sense data, it can be in the form of sound or vibration or any of the movement within nature, like the things that we smell, we taste, or we tactilely feel. Whether it's hot or cold, environmental condition, then nature's movement and condition. So our senses can pick it up. Then sometimes there can be mental activity within our mind. So all this is how you develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, and how do you know the world, and how do you interact with the world. Basically, it's through our senses together with our mind that can make us conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactilely feel and think. So our world is basically dependent, originating based on all this arising within the sense basis. Meditation is to develop the awareness to be aware of this movement so that you can have clear understanding of how you function as a human being. Who are you? What are you? And how do you know the world? How do you interact with the world? And how the memory, the brain, create the movement, the response to sense experience. So all this is what meditation is all about. Dhamma is all about. So the four support is very important for you to develop all this understanding. So I repeat, first support, relax body and mind, completely relax, be at ease. Then don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just maintain awareness. Whatever arises at the sense basis, away, finish. So that the thinking does not continue. What we are developing here is the stability of awareness. That's why we call this the awareness-based meditation. We are here to develop the inner awareness so that we can be aware of all the activity and movement within life, within our form and mind, to develop clear understanding of how we function as a human being. Who are we? What are we? So all this understanding can arise if you know how to develop this awareness within. So after the first two support, the third support is stabilizing the awareness within. Means technically, after you maintain awareness, you stabilize it by allowing it to settle down so that the mind become very quiet, very still. And when you can stabilize awareness, you will realize the stage of no thought. You will come to realize your true mind, your silent mind. And this is the most important step in awareness-based meditation. When you can realize that, that is the beginning of awareness-based meditation's movement. From there, your ability to meditate using that silent mind, the meditative mind or your true mind starts. So these first three support is good enough for most people. It can lead to sainthood, awakening, even to arhantaship. So relax, maintain awareness, stabilize this awareness. Technically is for as long as you can, maintain this awareness for as long as you can. Initially is your waking moments, then later on into your resting or sleeping moment when your body rests. Most people would have fallen into the unconscious or subconscious state. They may be going through a subconscious dream state or unconscious dream state and living being called as sleep. But if you are a cultivator, a meditator, when you have stabilized your inner awareness, the awareness can follow you into your sleeping state. Means while you are resting your mind, going into the sleeping phase. But instead of the normal human nature that lapse into the unconscious and just doze off or sleep, you can maintain awareness to allow the body to rest and sleep. Sometimes you can even hear your own snoring. Yeah. Then that snoring, the first sound, will trigger off the data for you to receive that hearing consciousness. So upon hearing, the mind becomes aware again. So initially, you have to go through this, the training. When you are about to fall into the subconscious or the unconscious and to go into the sleeping mode, normal people will snore. And the first sound, you will be aware. So maintaining awareness is whenever that tactile hearing arises, it makes you conscious. Then your awareness is aware of it. That's why the awareness can be maintained. Then later on, your awareness is so stable, the body can rest, can even snore and do all those movements, go into the subconscious, unconscious movement. Then all your mind activity that is going on, you can follow. Your awareness is with it. You are fully aware. To reach that state, you are already very good. So most people cannot do it, but it's okay. You cannot do it when you are tired, you need to rest. You just rest. Yeah? So allow it to go into the subconscious or the unconscious and just rest inside there. Don't try to know. Don't try to do it. Then when you arise from it, you will be fresh. Yeah? But if your awareness can go in, it's like you didn't sleep. It's like the mind, the awareness, the conscious mind, the awareness behind the whole movement activity you are fully awake. So it's like you didn't sleep. Then you can do that when you come out of it, even after 8 to 10 hours or 12 hours, if you sleep well, your body rests well. But most of the time, you only need about 6 hours or so, 6 or 7 hours, because you are fully awake, fully awake inside there. That's why they call the awakened one, the cultivator that is fully awake, means aware. And when you have that ability, it's like you didn't sleep. You come out of it like in a normal day, with clarity of what is going on within your mental activity or movement. Every of it is arising, you are aware. That means your awareness nature is within. Means you are fully aware. Then that type of mind is a meditative mind. It can understand many things. It can insight into phenomena. It can observe silently to understand what is going on within our form and mind. How we stir our mind, how we condition mind states, how we get ourselves entangled before we understand the true Dhamma, before we saw all these things. So all this is what awareness-based meditation is all about. It's very different from other people who do thought-based. Thought-based is normally knowledge-based, a lot to do with memories, using the thought actively. So that one, the thought is still active. You are not silent, you are not aware within. So that type of mind cannot realize the state of Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So the true Dhamma, which is akaliko, can be realized in the here and the now, is also beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why when we chant the salutation to Dhamma, the Buddha always recite it in such a manner. He said, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. And what is this Dhamma? Is characteristic. The Buddha said this Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now. And this Dhamma is akaliko, means timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. And this Dhamma is ehipasiko. You can investigate into it because it's the truth. It will stand up to investigation. Then lastly is Opanayiko, means this Dhamma is Opanayiko, leading inward towards our nature. Some they interpret it as into the heart, which is also correct. Our nature has a gateway within our heart area. So leading inward, into our nature. Then the last one is Pachetang. This Dhamma is Pachetang, can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So these are the characteristics of the Dhamma that we are trying to realize. So to do this, we need the silent mind, the awareness nature within. We cannot use thought. Otherwise, we cannot realize the state of mind that is beyond thought, beyond time. So this is how you develop the understanding. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Trying to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the trained mind states that we need to develop until it's very stable so that we can be heedful or in the midst of life. So ultimately, the true meditation is still meditation in the midst of life, is the daily mindfulness, so that you can be in the state of heedfulness throughout the living moments. Initially is while you live life. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chokawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sukato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang chatari purisa yokani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttaram punyam ketam lokasati sadhu 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 page 430. Okay, this is the beginning of the new section of the sutta where the Buddha begin after the those of the I think mainly sainthood way, who cannot understand the supreme Dhamma, the higher teachings, they left. After they left, then they have this part. So the Buddha spoke, this is the sutta part. So Sakyamuni Buddha said, these people lacking blessings and virtue, means not to say they have blessing, they have virtue, but they don't have that blessing and virtue to go the supreme bodhisattva way. Yeah? That's why the Buddha said, these people who lacking blessings and virtue are therefore unworthy of receiving this type of supreme ultimate Dhamma. Now the assembly is free of all the branches and leaves. Only the trunks alone remain intact. Sariputta, listen well. The Dhamma obtained by the Buddhas is spoken for living beings through the power of limitless expedient ways or devices. The thoughts in living beings' mind, the various pathways they have walked, the nature of their various desires, their karma, good or ill, from former lives, the Buddha knows them all thoroughly. Using conditions, analogies, expressions, and powerful expedient devices or skillful means, I cause them to rejoice. I may speak the sutta, gathas, or past events, of former lives and unprecedented causes and conditions, analogies, or gears, or the Upadesha texts to down-rooted ones who delight in lesser Dhamma and who are greedily attached to birth and death, who under limitless Buddhas have not walked the deep and wondrous path, oppressed by scores of suffering, for them I speak of Nirvana, means just Nirvana, means the realization of the cessation of form and mind, thereby realizing the sainthood way. Then I have established this experience to cause them to enter the Buddha's wisdom. Never did I say all of you will realize the Buddha way. I did not say as much because the time to speak has not yet come. The time now is exactly right to speak the great supreme vehicle, the nine division of my Dhamma, are spoken to accord with living beings, intending to lead them into the great supreme vehicle. I therefore speak this sutta text. For the Buddha's disciples, pure in heart, who are compliant and have keen faculty, who under countless Buddhas have walked the deep and wondrous path, I speak the sutta of the great supreme vehicle. I predict that such people in the future will realize the Buddha's way. For with profound thoughts, they recollected the Buddha, cultivate and uphold the pure morality. When they hear that they will become Buddhas, great will their joys be, their rejoicing be. The Buddha knows their thoughts and conduct and speak the great supreme vehicle for them. If some hearers or bodhisattvas hear this Dhamma that I speak, be it but a single verse, they will become Buddhas without a doubt. So this is a very powerful reaffirmation. Then we go to the commentary part. Initially, we have the outline, the headings, the actual speaking or proclamation of this sutta, followed by explanation regarding Buddhas in general and Buddhas of the three periods of time, followed by all Buddhas opening the provisional, revealing the actual, the singularity of the pneumonia, then the singularity of the cultivators. So these are the like subheadings. Okay, now the commentaries. We will go through the commentaries by Master Shenhua. So the sutta says, these people lacking blessing and virtue. So Shenhua explained, these people refer to those 5,000 who walk out, those who cannot receive the supreme teachings. They had no blessing and no virtuous conduct. And this is according to Shenhua. I already explained, not to say they don't have, but they don't have enough blessings and virtuous conduct to receive the supreme vehicle teachings. In other words, Shenhua said they had no good roots. This one also maybe not so appropriate. But it's okay, we leave it, because that is his way of expression. Then the sutta continue, are unworthy of receiving this Dhamma. Means they cannot receive this wonderful Dhamma of the great supreme vehicle because their good roots are not enough. And now he used, their good roots are not big enough. Then the sutta continue, the assembly is free of branches and leaves. So Shenhua explained, among those now left in the assembly are the bodhisattvas and the arahants who had no twigs or leaf, no miscellaneous brush. The trunk alone remained intact. Only the trunk, the solid foundation, the great vehicle people with virtuous practice remain. None of the small vehicle people are left, means those who are not ready to receive the supreme vehicle teaching. Only those with the disposition of the great supreme vehicle teachings, the bodhisattvas, remain. Okay, then it continues. The sutta says, Sariputta, listen well, means listen attentively to what I am about to speak or say. The Dhamma obtained by the Buddha means the unsurpassed, extremely profound, subtle and wonderful Dhamma realized by all the Buddhas of the Ten Directions is spoken for living beings through the power of limitless expedient ways or devices. The power of limitless, boundless, expedient ways or devices lead living beings to set aside the small and head towards the great, to bring forth the Bodhi mind or Bodhi heart and realize the position of Buddhahood. So this Bodhi heart or Bodhi mind is always referred to when going the Bodhisattva way, because there are five stages of Bodhi mind development that one needs to go through when you walk the Bodhisattva path. Then Shenhua continues, I use expedient devices to teach the three vehicles. Originally, they are not three vehicles, they are only provisional teachings. Then the sutta continues, the thoughts in living beings' mind, is everything living beings are thinking, the various pathways they have walked, all the different modes of cultivation and practice that they have cultivated, the nature of their various desires, means each living being has their own type of craving and desire. Where do those desire or craving come from? From their karma, good or ill, from former lives. Means If they had good karma, the burden of their desire will be a bit lighter. If both of their karma is evil, they will bear a heavier burden of desire. So you can figure it out for yourself. Ask yourself, are my thoughts of desire heavy or light? If they are light, then my good roots are deep and thick. If they are heavy, that means my good roots are weak and thin. What is meant by thoughts of desire? Thoughts of desire are just your affliction. Actually, a better word should be your wrong thoughts, that condition, your affliction. They are also just your ignorance. They are the things you cannot see through, you cannot break through, you cannot awaken to. They are the things you cannot let go of. The Buddha knew them all thoroughly. Using his Buddha eye to observe them, the Buddha understand their disposition completely. He knows all of the desire and all the thoughts in the minds of living beings. Using conditions, analogies, means various causes and conditions and various analogies, expression and powerful expedient devices, I cause them to rejoice. Means when living beings hear the Buddha Dharma, they are extremely happy. I may speak the sutta. Sutra is a Sanskrit word meaning a tallying text. Above, it tallies with the principle of all the Buddhas, and below, it tallies with the living beings to be taught. Above, it is one with the Buddha's nature. Below, it is one with the causes and conditions of living beings to be taught. So this is another way of explaining or defining what the sutta is, according to Shenhua, the Mahayana tradition. In actual meaning, if you were to study the Theravada teaching, sutta is normally termed as discourse of the Buddha. Whatever teachings that the Buddha has taught means the discourse that he has proclaimed or expounded are classified as sutta. That's why they have the three basket of his teaching. They call it the Tipitaka. So the first basket is the Vinaya rules, the monks' rules, the Bhikkhu and Bhikkhuni's rules. They call it the Vinaya part. Then the second part is the Suttanta or Sutta part, the various discourse of the Buddha. So they compile them all into three baskets. Then, of course, the third one is a later add-on. They call it the Abhidhamma, the higher teachings. So initially, it's just the Vinaya and the Sutta. That's why after the Buddha's Parinibbana, when Ananda and the other disciple close to him, ask him the question, after your Parinibbana passing away, who shall we follow as our next teacher? The Buddha didn't recommend anybody, none of his disciples. He just said, be guided by the precept and the sutta. Yeah. So whatever he teach, or he shared, he said, you must always check with the precepts that he has taught, means the Vinaya rule, and the sutta that he has expounded. If it conform, then follow. Yeah. Otherwise, he said, you have to investigate. Yeah. So, there is a reason why actually the Buddha say that, because this is to avoid unnecessary conflict, misunderstanding, and argument. It's just like in the olden days. If you have been observing the Chinese civilization or tradition, they have dynasty and emperor. So every time you have to appoint somebody to take over, so what happens is infighting, a lot of unnecessary conflict. Then keep on having rivalry and all those things. So division and all those were very common. So because of that, as far as the Buddha is concerned, because it's the Dhamma. So Dhamma can be developed or learned by not following any teacher or guide. As long as you have affinity, the Triple Gem, the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, then you will be guided accordingly. Yeah. So the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, they are the Triple Gem. It is through these three that you can find the teachings. So wherever there is this Triple Gem, the teachings will be there, so you won't get lost. So that part defines the sutta. Shenhua one is another version. They like this Sanskrit version. Means the teaching tallies with the Buddha's nature. Means the unconditioned and the conditioned world. Then we have the next one, Gathas. Gathas is also a Sanskrit word. Gatha are verses used to repeat the principles set forth in the prose passages. Some of them arise independently of the prose lives. An example would be the verse of the Vajra Sutta. Now this one is a very famous gatha, or they call it the Dhamma verse from the Diamond Sutta. So here is the English version. Maybe I read the Mandarin version first. 一切有为法，如梦幻泡影，如露亦如电，应作如是观。 So the Dhamma is very profound, very deep, very beautiful if you understand. So the English translation, Xuanhua put it as this, all conditioned Dhammas. But the better translation is 一切有为法, means whatever that is within the conditioned world. So it can also mean all conditioned Dhamma, like what Xuanhua has actually translated, are dreamlike, an illusion, or illusions, bubbles and shadow. But the Mandarin translation is meaning is much deeper. So 一切有为法 means all conditioned Dhamma that arises within the conditioned world. They are actually not what you think. So it's a 如梦, it's like dreamlike. Huan is illusion. Pao is bubble. 影子 is shadow. 如梦幻泡影. Then there is another characteristic. It's a 如露亦如电. So here, the English translation, Xuanhua put as like dewdrops or a lightning flash. It should be like a morning dew and a lightning flash. Means they doesn't last like the dew after the sunrise, not long. It will evaporate. Then some, they move very fast. The phenomenon is like a lightning flash. Zoom. Then, 应作如是观 means you should contemplate them thus. So once you have awakened and penetrated the Dhamma, this Vajragata, or this what they call Sutta, or not Sutta, sorry. No. That one is a Sutta. This one they call it the four stanza, huh? The four stanza. Or they call it the gathas, the four stanza or the gatha, will be very meaningful, very, very meaningful. And your nature will open up because it summarizes all the conditioned world Dhamma very clearly. Yeah. So this part is, I should say, a very appropriate example that Shenhua has given. Then Gatha also often express key principles such as these lines also from the Vajra Sutta, means the Diamond Sutta. So here the translation by Shenhua is, one who sees me in form or seek me in sound practice a deviant way and will not see the task come on. Whereas the Theravada tradition's gatha is slightly different. The Theravada tradition's gatha is, the Buddha expressed it slightly differently. Is it? He who sees the Dhamma sees the Buddha. Means if you have penetrated an insight into the Dhamma, means what he has taught you, then you see the Buddha. And the meaning is deeper. Means the Buddha is the embodiment of his supreme perfect wisdom and virtue. It's not the physical form. It's not the words he speaks. That is not the Buddha. That is the vehicle that he used to come. To perform the function of the Buddha. It is his perfection that animate him into a Samasa Buddha. That's why they come out with the teaching of the three Trikaya. The Buddha, they say, has these three bodies, Trikaya. First is the physical body, or they call it the functional body of the Buddha, Nimana Kaya. So that one is the physical form of mind. Then you have the Sambhogaya Kaya, which is the spiritual body, all his perfection. Yeah. So initially, the functional body need to meditate, need to cultivate, need to connect to the nature and inherit all the perfection of wisdom and virtue. Then that Sambhogaya Kaya, the spiritual body, join with the Nimana Kaya, which is the functional body. And when these two come together, then it animate that so-called physical body together with the spiritual body to become the Sammasambuddha. Means the fully enlightened one that speaks the Dhamma. That's why the third body, they call it the Dhamma body. The Dhamma body is the combination of the functional body and his spiritual body. These two combined becomes the Dhammakaya. But some people, they make use of the word Dhammakaya differently, because there is a type of meditation, I think, in Thailand. You all might have heard of the Dhammakaya tradition, where they teach you to visualize the Buddha. And they use the word sama arahang, and all those things. Visualize that Dhamma body. So all this We need to understand so that we can make do with the understanding so that we are not confused. Okay, we move on. The next part of the sutta is all past events. This refers to stories of the events in the previous life of disciples or bodhisattvas or even the Buddha. Of former lives, this refers to events of past life or the Buddhas. The unprecedented, this refers to story of the events in the past life of Buddhas. Then causes and condition analogies and gayas or gayas. Gayas are verses which repeat the meaning given in the previous prose section, such as the verse being discussed right now, or the Upadesha text. The Sanskrit word Upadesha means a commentary or a discussion of the meaning. Then the next part of the sutta is to dull-rooted ones who delight in lesser dhamma. The small vehicle people have dull roots. They prefer lesser dhamma and do not like the great vehicle supreme dhamma, and who are greedily attached to birth and death, means they are greedily attached to the revolving wheel of samsara or birth and death. They do not want to part with birth and death. Who under limitless Buddhas, in the presence of limitless Buddha of the past, have not walked the deep and wondrous path, because they did not cultivate the supreme way, the Dhamma which is extremely profound, subtle, and miraculous. Oppressed by scores of suffering, this refers to the eight types of sufferings. Birth, old age, sickness, and death, being separated from your loved one, mating with those whom you don't like, and not getting what you seek, and the raging blaze of the five grasping aggregate, the five skandhas, upadana khandhas. There are also the three types of suffering. The suffering within suffering. This one I think we have gone through last time. Dukkha dukkata. Then the second one is the suffering due to decay. Or they call it viparina. Viparinas nama dukkata. I remember. Dukkha. Then the last one is Sankara, I think something to do with Sankara. Sankara Dukkata. So here is they follow the traditional Theravada text. Then they just put it in. But through the Pali words I have already shared with you all earlier on, the meaning is deeper. Then there is a fourth type of very fine suffering which I also have explained. That one only cultivators of the way who are approaching the realization will experience on the very fine suffering. Then the Buddha said, for these people, he said, for them, I speak of Nirvana. Means I just teach them how to realize Nirvana, the sinful way, finish. The doctrines of impermanence, bliss. Here's Chen Hua adding the word true self. It's not true self, cessation and purity. I have established this expedience, means I have devised expedient Dhammador to cause them to enter the Buddha's wisdom. To cause all those people who like a small vehicle to attain the Buddha's wisdom. Never did I say all of you will realize the Buddha way. Which means the Buddha said, I never said that the small vehicle people could also become Buddha. No. I am speaking the fine and subtle great vehicle Dhamma. Everyone can become a Buddha. That's it. I did not say as much because The time to speak has not yet come. So when the Buddha speaks the Dhamma, he first observes the causing condition to see whether or not the time is right. Right now is exactly the right time to speak the wonderful Supreme Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta. The time now is exactly right to speak the great Supreme Vehicle Dhamma. Then after that, the next part of the sutta is the nine divisions of my Dhamma are spoken to accord with living beings. The nine divisions mentioned above are spoken in response to the needs of living beings, intending to lead them into the great vehicle. I therefore speak this sutta text. I first spoke the Dhamma of the lesser vehicle. My aim was to lead them into the great supreme vehicle, and that is why I now speak this sutta now. For the Buddha's disciple, pure in heart, who are compliant and have keen faculties, means they are gentle, mild, intelligent, and wise. They have the seeds, the basic makeup of the great supreme vehicle, who under countless Buddha have walked the deep and wondrous path, means they have been cultivating this Bodhisattva way under countless Buddhas. Why are they compliant and intelligent? It's because in the past, in the presence of limitless Buddha, they practice the profound, subtle, and wonderful Dhammadho. I speak the Sutta of the Great Vehicle means I speak the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. I predict that such people in the future will realize the Buddha way. In a future life, they will become Buddhas, for with profound thoughts, they recollect the Buddha, cultivate and uphold pure morality. With hearts of the great vehicle, they cultivate and maintain the Buddha Dhamma and uphold its pure morality. When you hear that they should become Buddha, great will their rejoicing be. The Buddha knew their thoughts and conduct and speak the great supreme vehicle Dhamma for them. Means knowing the thoughts in the mind of these people and knowing the deeds that they have done, the Buddha teaches them the great supreme vehicle Dhamma. If some hearer or Bodhisattva hear this Dhamma that I speak, be it but a single verse, if they hear so much as a single verse, they will become Buddhas without a doubt, means destined, confirmed. They can all realize Buddhahood. There is no doubt about it. So, okay, we will stop here. Okay, we are at page 436. So now we will continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting. Followed by whatever question that you may have. You can ask me any question with regards to meditation or the teaching, the Dhamma, and also how to apply these teachings to enable us to understand life and resolve whatever life problem or issue that we may have. The other, third choice is to share the living Dhamma, means Dhamma in daily life that one has gone through or developed, so that others can benefit from their sharing.
Pratyo and all Kayapitas. It's actually organized by a non-profit organization, a Buddhist group.
Yeah, very good.
From a US. They are from the Vipassana group, you see.
I was told by Jubilant.
So they have conducted many years of these pilgrimages. Whereby traveling mainly the Buddhas,
four holy sites.
Yeah, four bodhisattvas and also eight places, I think.
Eight places.
I didn't actually look at the detail of the journey, but it's like, you know, it's about 3 weeks. And the good thing about that is because it's each place you stay about 3 or 4 days, is it?
Oh, that's good.
So actually it's not very rush.
Yeah, not that hectic.
Yeah, not so hectic. And the places that we stay are at the temple. Either at the temple or some of the, I think the motel or hotel or something like that, is it?
Yeah.
So and I I think they will be a tour guide, experienced tour guide, explain about the places. I think a lot of time, I think it's free and easy, is it? Free and easy, whereby after going to a specified place, then they will just let you, you know, do
move
whatever,
around,
move around, do things.
Then do your own things.
Yeah, that's right. So to me, I think this is a very good opportunity for me to develop faith.
Yeah,
yeah, strengthen my faith, and also for me to revisit, you know,
The holy site.
The holy site, is it? So for the four holy site, I only visited Bodh Gaya, is it? So other than that, yeah, I think
so. Lumbini, this is the first time. Kushinara, also first time.
Yeah.
Then they have this the birth, the first sermon.
Sarana,
Sarana, Sarana. Then his parinibbana, Kushinara. Then the place where he got enlightened is
Bukaya.
Bukaya, most people have been there before. So that place, they say, a lot of people like to go, energy very good. Yes, the relics. And that Kushinara, Bukaya, that they call it the temple, or the Chaitya one. That one is very beautiful. And a lot of people have faith, they go there, they benefited actually. And I was told it's subsidized. The trip
actually is
quite cheap, isn't it?
Quite cheap. It's about 1,500
US. For 20 over days, cheap. So according to Chin Hao, the total cost of those 20 over days is only 1,500 US about.
Excluded the air ticket, but it's included the meal, transportation,
and the lodging. It's very cheap.
Yeah, and because also the dana, so part of it is
part
go
of
to
the
dana.
Cost also go towards dana, which is cheap actually. You divide by 20 over days, it's actually very cheap. It costs you about maybe 1.5 times 4 point something, 7,000 plus a bit, divide by 20 over days. Oh, means costing you only 20 days only. Oh, 20 days means 3,500. Sorry, 350 ringgit a day. It's cheap with transport, everything. Food, lodging, and transport is cheap. Good, Sadhu.
So I think, that is a very good opportunity.
Should go.
And because it's guided by that very experienced trip, so it's like we don't have to worry about, you know, the lodging.
Correct.
To look for places to stay.
Correct. And they have done it many times, many years. I think it's a reliable organizer. Oh, American people organizing. Not bad.
So we don't know who are joining the trip, is it?
It's a mixed group, I think. International group.
That's right. They actually got a Chinese group and an English group, is it? Chinese group is conducted by a Chinese. But the thing is that because of COVID, is it? Because of China lockdown, so they have sort of like closed up the, you know, the trip Chinese group, is it? So when the when the group was announced, I think end of I think somewhere last year.
Yeah, before they opened up. Right. Yeah, correct. Yes. So you all joined the English section, huh?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Hmm.
Brother, I have one question. Is it?
Can? Yeah.
It's like I know contemplation is very important, and always you emphasize about that.
Yeah.
How about for people like me, where the mind is not stable, is it? Not the sati is not stable.
Yeah.
All right. So how do we do contemplation? Is it?
Okay, very good question. Maybe I will rephrase your question. You see, for general purpose, most people who have not developed the training of the mind to have stability or sati, I would say like your case, because you have developed some form of training, but the only thing is not stable. So contemplation can still be developed and applied in daily life, so that you know how to make use of your contemplative moment to enhance your understanding, the stability of it. So first thing is your spiritual faculty. When you have your spiritual faculty developed, then your sati will automatically fall into place. But initially, most people only have the faith, sadha, and virya. So once you have the faith, sadha, and virya, your mind is already composed, actually. Already composed. When you have the faith, sadha, then you develop the virya to cultivate, means you understand the importance of this teaching. That's why you, through understanding how unique the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is. So after realizing this, your faith becomes very strong. Because he's not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. Then his Dhamma or his teaching not only teach you wisdom or allow you to have the understanding to understand life and live life, it can liberate living beings' mind, free them from suffering, and develop what we call enlightenment in the here and the now. So because of that, your faith is very strong, and that faith actually moves you, develop the spiritual zeal, tenacity to walk this way. That's why you start to cultivate. Cultivation got two parts. First part is develop the stability of mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. So when you have heedfulness, then you can develop the cultivation of the higher Dhamma. But before that, as per the Abhijja Sutta, you can also develop the first turning, second turning wisdom through constant listening to the Dhamma. So when you listen with faith attentively, you become different. That's why if you can recall in the past, all those who progress, especially Alicia, chase after the recording. So you have to listen attentively with faith, then with that spiritual tenacity, with sadha and virya, then you reflect and contemplate after you have listened. When you listen, you try to develop clear understanding. So listening is a very important aspect of the training, Abhijja Sutta step 2. Opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma means constantly listening. When you listen, you develop new understanding which you have not developed before. that when you contemplate, reflect, and inquire, you stabilize this understanding so that the Dhamma become more clear to you. Then only you can put it into practice, apply it. Yeah. So to apply it, you have to stabilize it first until it become like Yoniso Manasakara, the initial wisdom to prompt you, leading to step four. Then in between, after you listen, then you reflect, you contemplate, then you put it into practice. If you stand up to investigation, your faith becomes very strong. That's how step three come about. Then as you continue to reflect, contemplate, and stabilize it, that understanding will deepen until your Yoniso Manasikara become more stable. Then that one will keep on prompting you. I remember what happened to me during my early day training is my faith was very strong because I know what this thing is. The moment I heard the Four Noble Truths, I never turn back. I go all out. Then when I go all out, I look for truth, but I can't find. I read, I listen to Dhamma, I read a lot. Then I try to develop understanding, but I hardly can find a true teaching. But because of my past, I was lucky. My nature know what to do. So even I go for retreat or what, the Anapanasati just come there, my mind just settle down. Then later on, when I was in the uni studying, that time, I was able to develop very strong, stable Anapanasati. Then I, of course, experienced certain type of absorption too, especially the first day when I went to the uni and all those things. Then that first 2 years, first and second year, my course was 4 years, I developed very stable Anapanasati until my mind become very calm, very still. Then my mental very strong. Then third year, fourth year, I still retain some of the practices. But when I came out to work, then I don't meditate so much. Then I start seeing my mind got movement again, got craving and desire to do well in my career, to study, do MBA, study law, and expand on my like career profile, you know. Then I realized, like, what is all this? So because of that, that condition arise for me to recall the teaching. Like the glass of clear water, the Buddha said, if you don't stir it, it settles down, the dust. It's like the water is clear. But when it is stirred, the dust will float again and make that glass of water turbid again. Then I realized what I have done in the past must be the concentration or absorption that suppress the defilement, the five mental hindrance. That's why they are all suppressed. Then when I don't meditate that often, I don't develop that absorption or that samadhi or samatha type of concentration, one-pointedness, energy, fuel. Then this one starts to move again. That's why after that, I happened to be very lucky. I met Ajahn Yantra in 1989. So he was the one that actually shared with me a lot of very good pointers, the Dhammas. That he himself picked up and also from his teacher and all things that he find useful, and I also find it very useful, which I have shared in the Heart Sutta book and all those things. I think you all read through, you know. Then from there, I reverse my cultivation to daily mindfulness. So this is the part that I want you to understand. If you don't go back to daily mindfulness, you cannot go beyond. That calm state of mind that I experience is actually a conditioned mind, not a free mind in full awareness. So after I've gone through, I had the understanding that I try to teach you the awareness-based meditation. So what you can do is, before your awareness stabilizes, just like what I did in the early day, because my anapanasati was strong, then it was like most of the time calm, peaceful, quiet. So we call this the creative mind, because the faith also can make your mind calm, composed, creative. So during that time, you can contemplate on. What you need to do is you must constantly listen to the Dhamma, means with the faith, virya, sada virya, go after the Dhamma. Then keep on reflecting, contemplating until it becomes a part of you, the initial wisdom, until I understand the first and second turning wisdom of the Four Noble Truths very clearly. Then later on, when my daily mindfulness come, I realize from stage 4, the initial wisdom, I move to step 5 of the Avijja Sutta, Sati Sampajana, very fast. Within 2 weeks, the daily mindfulness came. I settle down. Then I can see, I can understand that all the teaching become very different. It's because of the daily mindfulness, the direct seeing, the awareness, the observation. So that one allow me to understand how I function as a human, how memory actually create the conditioning. So this views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and everything that we accumulated in the brain, like your phobia, your insecurity, your habitual tendency, and all these things, you have to see them until you understand clearly that this is not the way to live life. This is not the way to use the brain. We are acting according to this memory from the brain. It's not acting at all. We need wisdom to live life, to understand life, to act. That's why from there, I straighten my view. Then I allow this nature to open up. That's why I went into the what they call the hallmark of winning. From the awareness, I realized the first hallmark, which is no thought. From no thought, I developed the observation, understanding, the daily mindfulness, everything. Then I start to see the living Dhamma, means from the direct seeing, the silent mind, the awakening, the universal characteristic, everything. Then from there, that mind become very different. That mind starts to like awaken to all the universal characteristic, and the deep aspect of the teaching, they just surface. Like because I can see, I can understand, then that understanding actually awaken that nature to enable it to understand all these things very differently. That's why the direct seeing, the profound awakening, all this happened. That all the Theravada Sutta, Mahayana Sutta, the moment I read, I understand. The moment I read, I understand. It's because partly also from the past, and partly also the daily mindfulness stabilized. The contemplation earlier also helped. So the constant reflection and contemplation is, you must have the faith to drive you. Means listen, listen, listen. Don't get yourself involved in too many things. Even when you go to India, remember what Alicia did. While she traveled in the plane, in the train, he listened. She listened. Understand? Then there was joy. Because when you listen, you can reflect on life. Then that Dhamma, which is related to life, will surface. No wonder you cannot understand all this. Because last time, you were not able to listen to all this. Well, this living Dhamma, explain to you clearly how you function as a human being and how you get yourself entangled. And all this is like a shortcut for you. Because instead of you yourself observing, developing the understanding, it's just like the prototype of the car. You don't have somebody who have the prototype and design for you. You just improve on it and use it. It's so much easier. You are the first guy who has to do all the design and come out with the prototype. You know how difficult now, because nobody has done it. You have to understand it. Like my case, my teacher had to understand it. Well, my teacher didn't really teach me all those things. They just share with me those things that have helped them, the pointers and all that. But the moment I hear truth, I listen, I can understand, because the nature from the past has this ability. And this is how I give, my nature give. And when my nature come, it will receive the same way. So as far as I'm concerned, this is how I did it. But for your case, like I explained, constant listening, then reflect and contemplation is very important. Until it become a part of you, then you stabilize your mindfulness. That one you got no choice. Until your daily mindfulness become very stable, then you will progress and you will move very fast. Do not doubt. The doubt is a mental hindrance. When you have faith, the sadha and virya will drive you. And don't allow the thought to tell you, "Ayo, I have not stabilized my sati. I don't have this ability to contemplate." No, contemplation doesn't need that stability or sati. When I did contemplation in the early day, to stabilize the understanding, the first turning, second turning, I have not developed the stability of daily mindfulness yet at that time. So you don't need. But once you have, like Alicia, they are approaching, they are constantly listening, then with a open mind, like develop the clear understanding. The moment you understand, you try to reflect on it, contemplate on it, and stabilize the understanding until you can apply it, understand, until it can become a living reality. It means every time you encounter something, let this contemplative wisdom or initial wisdom prompt you to act. So you act according to Dhamma understanding. Means all the wisdom that you have developed through listening, like even just now the Diamond Sutta, 一切有为法, 如梦幻泡影, 如露亦如电, 应作如是观, means you have to contemplate it such. Because within the conditioned world, everything is conditioned Dhamma, according to the Buddha in the Diamond Sutta. And what are conditioned Dhamma? Conditioned Dhamma are dependent originating Dhamma. Dependent on causes and conditions, it arises. When causes and conditions continue to sustain itself, then it continues to exist. But when causes and conditions cease to be, it cease to be. So if it's conditioned Dhamma, then how can it be a permanent, unchanging entity? Well, it follows condition. It flow and move with condition. If no condition, nothing arises. And that is the understanding. So if it's not a permanent, unchanging entity, then what is it? That's why he said it's like your sankhara creating dream state when you at night sleep. The subconscious and the unconscious movement. These are just like dream state. Zhu mong. Huan is, it creates illusion for you to attach, cling and grasp and give meaning. Then like a bubble. Pop, gone. Pop, gone. That is all. Like feeling. Arise, pass away. Arise, pass away. So feeling is like bubble. Consciousness is like bubble. Arise and pass away. So perception also same, arise and pass away. So everything is zu meng huan pao ying. Shadow means if you don't have the awareness, it will continuously haunt you, follow you like your shadow. Suffering will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you, because you don't understand, you don't have the wisdom, you don't have the sati awareness to see, to straighten your view. So all this become very clear. Then all these phenomena, although dreamlike illusion, and also like a bubble and a shadow, they are also impermanent in the sense that like a morning dew and a lightning flash, and most of them passes by very fast like a lightning flash. So no reality, like I said, what is existence? Existence is equivalent to life. To live life is to go through existence, and existence is time related. So time, we can define the whole spectrum of time into past, present, and future. And we know out of the three, past already gone, no more reality. Future yet to come, also no more reality. So the present moment is the only reality in life, in the here and the now. And what is this present moment? Split second is gone. Split second is gone. The moment I talk about it is gone. And it's not moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? So if it's the only reality, split second is gone, then how real can life be? Every moment is just that moment, pump gone, pump gone. That's why like a bubble, pump gone. Yeah. Then like a shadow, come, go, come, go. Yeah. And it's an illusion because no reality, but because the mundane mind through its own ignorance and delusion give meaning, grabs, cling, hold, and create all this attachment, clinging, grasping, that condition our mental affliction, or what we call suffering, dukkha. So all this you will understand. So conditioned dhamma is always impermanent, not a permanent unchanging entity. And because it's not a permanent unchanging entity, it follows nature's law. You grasp and cling and hold and want things your way, which is not nature's way, you will suffer. So the universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state, non-self and empty nature will become very clear to you. So when you contemplate and reflect on this kata or four stanza very often deeply until it become a part of you, then you realize whenever people arise this sharing of dhamma, conditioned dhamma, you straight away understand already. Each year you way far within the conditioned world, everything is conditioned dhamma, and you already know, like I explained, what is conditioned dhamma. Dependent on condition, it arises, it comes and it goes. That's why it has the universal characteristic. Then, because of that, you will also come to know through the Huining's three hallmark. When you are without thought, you are with your true mind, your true nature. You can observe, you can see, you can understand all this, the condition, the matter. That's why the dwelling, paticca samuppada, you will see the essential dhamma. Everything that is taught and shared by the Buddha, the Four Noble Truths, is returning, even the five spiritual faculties, you see them all. So once you have this ability to contemplate, reflect, and understand all this, then your mind becomes different. Then you will know how to live life and act. So this initial wisdom will make your mind more calm, more peaceful. Then your daily mindfulness settles down very fast. Because once the initial wisdom is there, you will not stir your mind so often like last time. So going forward to realize step 5, which is sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension in the midst of life, become very easy. Your mind does not stir already because of this initial wisdom. So contemplation is very important. Prepare yourself first. Stabilize. Keep on listening to the Dhamma. Then develop understanding, clear understanding, then go into life. Other things are not important. Even this spiritual trip you go, when your mind has a spiritual faculty, it will draw the energy, it will be able to detect all this holy sight, spiritual energy, the whatever great beings, nature's energy. You can draw and detect them, because the spiritual faculty, our nature, is very powerful. When your heart opens up, it becomes sensitive, then the spiritual faculty will transform you to have this ability to be aware from your nature. Then this one becomes sensitive, then it can draw, it can detect, it can develop faith and understanding. Then when you are there, you just relax, silent, maintain awareness, continue to reflect, contemplate on the Dhamma. Then the understanding will surface. So to contemplate, to reflect is very, very important. Well, I received the message from no less than three or four teachers, or I should say cultivator of the way. Yeah. He, especially Ajayantra, he reminded me six times, I think, when I was with him alone. We choose contemplate until very, very clear. And that statement is very true. That's why later on I realized that was the second turning wisdom which I've been doing for so long without me knowing, until 1989 when I awakened. Then only my nature know what that was. So I have been doing the second turning without knowing that it was second turning. So constantly listen and contemplate, reflect and apply it into life. Then everything you encounter in life through your senses, reflect, contemplate, then allow the Dhamma to surface and act. Don't go back to your memory. Because this one, before you become enlightened, most of it is egoic one, selfish one. And through your fear, your phobia, your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, you will act according to the old way one, which is selfish, deluded, and without the initial wisdom or understanding. So you cannot solve your, I just say, life problem permanently. You cannot root it out completely. Maybe it can help you solve some mundane problem or situation, but it does not give you a permanent fix. Means it will not lead to like wisdom that can root it out once and for all. Maybe for a while, like the those who have depression, you go and talk to psychiatrists, then they will give you sleeping pill, tranquilizer. Then the other one is they help to like stabilize you when you have panic attack and fear through hormone adjustment. So they will give you those they call drugs that help you stabilize yourself. If they know when you have phobia, fear, panic attack, there is this hormone deficiency. Certain type of, I don't know what they call it. There is a deficiency in that thing. Then they let you take that drug that actually build up the thing so that there is no more of this deficiency. Then you won't release that type of panic attack hormone. It stabilizes you back. I forgot what they call it already. There is another word for it. I think it's related to hormone, something to do with the hormone. Your brain there is something that is deficient. Then they know, they use that type of drug to stabilize you. They use drug to help you. So all these are not permanent fix. Maybe for a while you can sleep, your insomnia problem is temporary result. But in the end, that mental problem or issue not rooted out, it will continue to come back and haunt you. So it's not a permanent fix. So using thought, logic, it can give you knowledge, make you smart, make you quite intellectual. But That one is not wisdom. When you encounter the first noble truth, reality, worldly problem, you cannot resolve one. So you have to go into awareness. Yeah. The awareness to see, to awaken is very important. Okay? Yeah. Hopefully that will help you. So have faith. Don't go and believe your thought that you haven't stabilized your this one, so you cannot do. No such thing. True constantly. What you have done is already very good. You invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to have this ability to reflect and contemplate and stabilize the understanding so that your faith becomes very strong. Then you will progress. Because what you have done is actually already preparing you and very good. But I realize you don't have enough time, because I only recently know from Sui, when you download a video, sometimes you have to wait for 1-2 hours. That morning, in the morning when you wake up early to upload it, also you have to let it run for 1 or 2 hours. So you are so tired. So when you do the editing that time, maybe you're very full of faith and very hardworking. But that one, you are not listening attentively, you know. Because you just want to listen to do the editing, you know. Understand, you know? That is not what Alicia doing. You know? Alicia doing, he no need to do all this editing. He just chase Sui An for the thing. Then he listen. You know? Then he listen attentively. You know? You should spend more time on that. Now, when Sui around, she will help you to do. So you got more time. You understand, you know? So you don't have to rush those editing. Otherwise, you won't listen. If you don't believe what I tell you, you go and try it out, especially this few days when Sui is still around, before you leave. Then when you leave in the plane and when you're traveling, you got nothing else to do. Listen. Very different what I tell you. You must listen attentively. Then all the Dhamma will stand up. And when you come back, you become different. Completely different, I tell you, after 3 weeks. Sadhu, it's good for you. Luckily, you got condition.
I noticed the state of mind is very important, especially when you listen to Dhamma. You have to be fully,
attentive. Then your faith must be there. You listen to develop the clear understanding. You are not editing that file for people to listen. Well, I realize you like not enough time, right? Every time, like, want to do it fast. Although initially I heard you report, wow, the sharing is very good, very good. You know it's good, but you don't have that time to listen attentively. You understand? So next time, even when you are editing, forget about that work. You listen first. When the Dhamma is very good, you listen. Listen, then go back, listen again. Because the computer, you can move forward and move backward. And the part that you want to listen. Then those that you have already contemplated, reflected, already understood, already on, then skip. Then just let it pass. Then if you have attended the talk, you normally quite familiar. After you have done a few, like Sui, he know the starting, the end, and in between, whether there is anything wrong, then you try to patch back whatever. But for me, I think, even if you let the whole video run, extra a few minutes only, why you want to waste time on all those things? Just let it be. The editing, actually, to me, is not really that important. You have your short video already, so this, the whole thing, just let it run. And those people who know how to listen, especially, they know how to skip one. The chanting, they skip it. So you don't have to waste that type of time. You just download, then upload, finish. Then, of course, sometimes the computer got problem, I spend some time, fix it up. Apart from that, I feel that no need to. You save here a few seconds, there a few seconds, overall less than 3-4 minutes. But you have hell of a worker, understand? Trying to. But the editing, I was told, a lot of work on. to take out, and sometimes you need to go and get the audio file and match. That one is worse. A lot of time wasted. So learn all this and become like, I use this word, work smart, don't work hard. Because you only have so much time. How can you become so hardworking? Hardworking in the wrong direction is actually, to me, is stupidity. Means you work very hard, like the cow. The cow work very hard, but under people's control. Finally, go to the slaughterhouse. So, work smart. You work, but through understanding, through wisdom. So you work, but you are not like wasting your valuable time instead of using it for more fruitful type of activity or useful type of activity, which is related to the Dhamma and cultivation. Then you should actually have the understanding and move in that direction. And don't go and spend unnecessary to be that type of editing which doesn't make much difference on it. It's not really a wise way of doing things. So don't worry about the few extra minutes. Let the client, they are smarter than you, actually. They cut here, cut down faster than you. But they used to listen on they know one. Sometimes I also, when I want to listen to something, I also know where to start. And when I hear, like, not relevant or not, I just keep on. I don't want to listen. Then sometimes, like, there are a lot of social media video. I start, if nothing much, I will skip already. Skip, skip, skip. Then most of the time, I just delete it all. Because not much use. But sometimes I got certain thing that is interesting, I will listen. Then I also won't like waste all the time listen until the end. Unless that speaker is extraordinary, got something very unique on, then I will listen. Okay, sadio. Yeah, 10:30 already. Oh, so we have to end. Okay. So let us rejoice with a good question and a good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will share merits, transfer merits, and we will have our closing puja. Okay, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa Cirang rakan tu loka sasana Eta wata jamehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati sidiya Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tina hotu sukita hontunya tayo Devo asatkalena sasa sampati hetu cha Vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we shall end the whole Zoom sharing. Sadhu. Thank you.